resounding hand clap. Yeah, you're always getting in the way of that. Love you. Let me say this even before my spiritual mom begins to speak. I am clearly in a place of unknown. I'm in a place that I never imagined in my life that I would be in. Wasn't trained, wasn't raised, wasn't brought up to be a pastor. Thought my life was headed to something completely, totally different. First the NFL, then business. June 1st of 2008, everything changed in my life. And I've never done anything more fulfilling than what I do along with my wife today. That would not have happened if God had not used you to speak into my lives. I and we are eternally grateful for what God has done in our lives. And we are so proud to have you here today, as well as our church family as well. Amen, everybody. Welcome, Bishop and Pastor Kathy.
Thank you, thank you. You may be seated. Just before I hand the microphone over to my bride, I hope you had a nice and happy Thanksgiving. Hope that you had enough to eat. And I want to say something just before I hand the microphone to my bride about the Beachams, something you may not know. Because the majority of you, you know them when they're on the platform or when they're in the lobby greeting you. We know them behind the scenes. Say behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
See, I don't give a rip. I honestly don't. That somebody can preach or sing or teach. If behind the scenes, say it again.
Behind the scenes.
They don't live the life. I don't care.
It's good. It's good.
I don't care. And you know what? Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them.
It's good.
He wasn't talking about the fruit of preaching or the fruit of prophesying.
That's right.
He was talking about the fruit of living the life. And so what I know about these two is they were my neighbors, and it was actually through pain that God brought us together. Pain in their lives, something they were going through, and we've had some of the most intimate, trying, challenging moments, the four of us together, many, many tears. You learn a lot about a person and about people, not during the good times.
It's good.
But during the tough times.
Yes.
When things didn't go the way that they hoped that it would and thought that it would. And I just want to say to every one of you, these two are the real deal. I've been at this a long time, okay? I've lived a long time, but I worked at General Motors and took that step of faith many, many years ago, and we're praying for all the folks from General Motors, but I just wanted to say those couple words about behind the scenes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because you do this really, really well. You do this really, really well. And it's who you are. But what I appreciate, and I've told the two of you, what I appreciate is your authenticity behind the scenes, being in your home, you being in our home, us being together and having deep conversations. You're a real son and a real daughter. And we love you so much. Give them
Thank
a good
you so much.
You.
Thank you.
We love you so much. Now, this woman of God, my bride, I bless you today.
Yes.
To be used by the Lord.
Yes.
I bless you not only as my bride, but as a woman of God, a daughter of the King. May you flow in your anointing, daughter of the Most High God, today.
Yes.
May you even be strengthened and encouraged as the word of God flows through you. May this house today have ears to hear
Yes.
what Holy Spirit wants to say. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Love you too, and are so proud of you. And you were born for this day. You were born for the positions you are in. And you are born for what God is about to do in the days and months and years ahead. And it will be great. Jesus. It will be great.
Amen. You can see it. You can see it.
Well, good morning, Victory. It is so good to be here. I am just thrilled to be ministering to you this morning. And I've asked your worship leaders to come back and just lead us one more time in a very simple song. But there's a reason I do this. I remember not long ago, I was sitting just contemplating about the things of God and about church. And I was thinking about, why do people come to church? Why do they make that effort to come to church? And I thought, well, some of them come because they want to fellowship with like believers. They belong with like believers. Others come because they want to hear the word of God and grow in the word of God. Others come because they want their kids to have a great nurturing place to be. And I said, boy, those are all good reasons. And God spoke to me and said, and why do you think I come? And I said, oh God, your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. So you come because you have to come because you're true to your word. And God spoke to me. He said, that's true, Catherine. He said, those are all true statements, but that's not why I come. He said, I come because I want to have an encounter with my people. I come because I want to love all my people. I come because I want to change them and speak life to them. I thought of a parent that is going to one of their child's concerts, and how that mother or that father is sitting there watching that little child. It didn't matter if he could sing or not. He put his elbow the person next. That's my son up there. See that little kid with that little ruffled up clothes? That's my son. And you ask her why she goes, well, or why he goes, well, that's just what good parents do. But the real reason she goes is because she loves her child. And she's waiting for that final embrace when the child comes off of that stage so proud of himself and just hugs his mom and dad. That's what God's wanting to do, is just love on his kids. It's not a duty to him. And sometimes we worship. I know I'm guilty of this. I'll worship and I'll be, and this is a good thing. You're just giving all glory and you're focused on God and you're praising God. And God says, now it's my turn. I want to come down and focus on you. And so we're going to just sing this song, Hallelujah, just for a few moments. Just hold out your hands. And you don't even have to sing. You can if you want. But just receive. Allow Holy Spirit to bring an encounter to you this morning. If I never say a word, it won't matter. Because you've had an encounter with a God who changes everything. Never underestimate the power of an encounter with God. It changed my life. And right now, I believe more than any other time, God is looking for those who he can have an encounter with.
Oh.
just ask that during this next period of time, as we're here, that you would speak to your people. Father, they can drown out anything I have to say. They can drown out any problems that they've had this week. The Holy Spirit, they're tuning in right now to you. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. You said you'd be here, and Jesus sent you to love on us. Sent you to just wrap your arms around us, to encounter us. As we encounter Holy Spirit, we encounter Jesus. We encounter Jesus, we encounter the Father. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys are an amazing worship team. Thank you. You know, not long ago, I actually have a prophetic word for this house today that the Lord placed in my spirit, man. And it wasn't that long ago that God began to speak to me. And he said to me, he said, tell them there's an invasion coming. Don't you love it when God, he gets your attention right away? He said, in fact, tell them there are three invasions coming. He said, the first invasion will be an invasion of my Holy Spirit into the church. He said, there's going to come a cloud of my glory, that weightiness of the Shekinah glory. And it's going to come into the house. Those houses that have been pursuing him, that have been going after him, that are expecting a move of God like the earth has never seen. He said, it's going to come into those houses. And all that I am will be there. He said, if God is there, all that God is would be there too. It'll be in the cloud. And when people come in, whatever the need will be, they will walk in to the wholeness. He said, those that need healing, I'm the great healer. They will walk in to be healed. There are those who need deliverance, and they will be delivered. Those who need saved, and they will be saved. So tell them, there's an invasion of my spirit about to come. Get ready. He said the second invasion will be an invasion of people. He said they'll hear about the glory. They'll hear about the place where God is moving, and they will come. They will be in the streets, and someone would say, I need deliverance, and I hear there's a place where God is delivering. And they will come. There will be those who, where the doctor has told them there's no hope left, they will say, I hear there's a place where there's hope restored for you. And they will be healed. And they will come, and they will come, and they will come. He said, in the third invasion, he said, and I need your help with this. Don't you just... Didn't that just blow away your mind? I said, you need our help. We have a quote that we use, my husband uses, and we use often, that without God, we cannot. That's a given. I mean, duh. But without us, God will not. God has chosen to use men and women. And he won't accomplish his will on the earth unless we cooperate and do our part of what he needs done. And he says, I need your help with this last invasion. And the reason I'm sharing this is because the word I have over the house pertains to this last invasion. And it's invasion, he said, it's not an invasion into the church, but it's an invasion of God's people out of the church. He said they will be anointed by God to go out. I love one of our campuses always says, the church has left the building. It will be the people going in to the broken places. There will be people going into the places that you work every day. There will be those who will be going into the Walmarts and the supermarkets and the Targets. And of all of a sudden, God will give an opportunity for you. And all of a sudden, there'll be God's people everywhere ministering. Not that long ago, I was in Newcastle, and I don't get there very often, but we were in the Newcastle area, and we were going to have company. I needed to get some napkins, so I ran into this store. It's called Tuesday Morning. Have you heard of that store? I remember when that was advertised, I laughed, and I says, look, they say it's opening Tuesday morning, but they don't tell us what it is. Somebody's going to be in trouble when they find out that they didn't mention the store. Well, it was Tuesday morning. And I ran in real quick, and I got the napkins that I needed, and I got in line. I knew my husband was waiting. I was trying to hurry. Wives do that, don't we, wives? We really do try to hurry, but we do our best. So he was waiting out in the car, and I ran in, and I grabbed the napkins, and after a few minutes of looking over the napkins, I grabbed the napkins. I got in line. Well, there was a lady in front of me. She had a cart load of stuff, just stuff. And I got in line behind her, and she said, honey, you just have that one thing. Go in front of me. And I said, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. What's your name? And she told me it was Gail. I said, oh, my husband and I both have a sister named Gail. And she says, yeah. She said, you just go ahead of me. So I went ahead of her. And as I was checking out, the gal that checked me out, you could tell she had had a very difficult life. And she was checking me out, and I heard the lady behind me talking to the lady now behind her. And she said, well, you know, she says, my cancer's come back. And I've got to return this stuff because I've got to go to the hospital. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford to get this, so I'm just returning all this stuff. And the Lord immediately spoke to me. And he said, I want you to pray for Gail. I don't know about you, but I'm just getting where I'm comfortable with that. And so I turned to Gail, and I said, thank you, Gail, for letting me go ahead of you. And I said, I happened to hear you say that you have a need, you've had a diagnosis. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she turned to me, and she said, I was hoping that you would say that. It rang in my spirit like that was not what I was expecting to hear. And I said, she had no idea that I was a pastor, so it wasn't because of that. So I said, can I take your hand, Gail? And I took her hand, and I put my eyes down. I closed my eyes, began to pray for her. And as I happened to glance up, I saw the lady at the register was praying. She had her head bowed. The ladies, there were two carts now behind her, and they were both praying. And we prayed for Gail. But as I was walking out, I just got to the door. And God spoke to me and said, this wasn't about Gail at all. He said, this is about a city that is hoping you would do that. A city that is waiting for you to come and to pray and to invade. Pastor Locke, First Lady, let me say, First Lady Gloria, you are one classy lady. They are so fortunate to have you. And you just represent victory so well, so well. In all that you do, the way you dress, the way you look, the way you do transition, the way you lead prayer. You're just the best of the best, and I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Pastor Locke, you may remember that I had a word over you the first time I came to your campus, I think. And I had a picture of the two of you, and you were in this big white car, and you were driving through the city, and you were going through the back roads and up and down and through the highways, and you finally got, we could tell you were looking diligently for something, and you finally got to this huge, like a warehouse building, and you got in your pocket, and you got the keys out, and you got the right key, and you went, and you opened the warehouse. And the two of you walked in there. And when you first went in, it was just boxes and boxes of things that were stacked. And it looked like a storage area. But one by one, people came out from under the boxes. And they said much the same thing. They said, "We've been waiting for you to come, to rescue us, to take us and mentor us and disciple us and show us the way." And one by one, they came. I venture to say that many of you sitting here this morning are some of those people that God saw waiting for them to come to find a safe place. And they came, and they came. Well, as I was praying about this service, the Lord showed me a new picture of this campus. And I saw that same big white car sitting out in front of the church. The two of you were sitting in it, but there was a row of white, huge cars, one after another, after another, after another. And they, you could tell they were all lined up like a big parade. And there were so many that they, in the airport, you know, when you go in with your luggage, you go in and out and in and out. And I always want to duck under there so I don't have to walk in and out. But it makes the most room because you squeeze together that way and you go in and out. Well, these cars were going in and out and in and out and in and out, just ready to go. And I saw at the front of all the cars where your car was, and again, vehicles usually represent ministry, and white represents righteousness. So the ministry and the white cars represented each of you that were driving behind them. And you were right at the front of it. There was three lights. It was like you were at a racetrack. Senior, it was like, if I don't know if you've ever been to a racetrack, but they have the, at least they used to. It's been years since we've been there. They may do mechanic or new kind of fangled things now. But this was, it had the red light on the top, and then it had the yellow light, and then it had the green light on the bottom. And it would, when it's your turn, they'd hit the red, and it'd go down, yellow, and then away you go. If there was something over it, you would just, they would remove the barrier, and you would take off. And I saw you sitting there, and I saw the light was yellow. And I felt like God is saying to this church, get ready. He's saying, get in position. Now, I saw later on, I saw all of you driving out, and you were going different directions. Somebody was going to his workplace, and somebody was going to a supermarket. Somebody was going to a school system, and somebody else at college. But you were all going different ways. You got to the main road, and then you split off and went different ways. And I felt what the word God gave me was, it's time to get in position. It's time to get ready, because the move of God, you're sitting on the yellow light, but the green light's about to come. And the first thing I thought of when I thought of the word get in position, you'll never guess in a million years. Football. Now, those of you who know me know that I know 0 to -20 about football. I'm asking my husband all these questions because I wanted to get this right. And forgive me for those of you that I know I'm going to mess up. But I'd say to my husband, well, doesn't he make the calls? And he'd say, well, not exactly. And then I'd say, well, doesn't he? Well, not exactly. And I said, well, here's what I see from someone who doesn't know anything about football. I know that Ohio State won last night. I fell asleep, but my husband told me in the morning. But Pastor Locke, I want you to get in position. I want you to get maybe just a third way back. That's good. That's good. Now, what happens when you get in position? Now, I know they gather together. They put their heads down, so you're not supposed to be able to see them. But there's a coach that'll make up a drawing with lots of swigs, yeah, pretty much. And then he says, but the quarterback is going to, let me think about this. Yeah, he receives the ball when it's hiked, right? Okay. And then he's going to expect whoever he's going to throw it to get in position. Okay. Not only that, but he's called a receiver. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you. So you're the receiver, I'm a quarterback. Okay. You in position? If you're not in position, then it's going to mess everything up. Yeah, I hope you heard that. If you're not in position, you're going to mess everything up. Hey. Thank you. You may be seated. What happens when you get it? You're going to run and run and run. Well, God is ready to throw the ball to you people, and he's going to expect you to run with it. He's going to expect you to be where you need to be and to run with it. Thank you, Pastor Long. What's that? Oh, I will be glad to. I have a word for Pastor Michael. What time is it getting to be? Oh. But it's just so heavy on my heart. I'm going to share it. Would you want to stand up, Eileen, just so? And you can record it. But I saw a picture of Pastor Michael. And Pastor Michael was up in that big glass room at YSU Stadium. You know where you can oversee the city. There's glass everywhere. It's a beautiful room. We have prayed there before, and it's just an amazing room to overlook the city. And I think it's the highest place to overlook the city. And I saw Michael. And Pastor Michael, when you hear this, I'm going to say it directly like I'm saying it directly to you. Pastor Michael, you're standing up in this room, and you're overlooking the city. And you began to see the city as dry, dead bones. And you looked out, and it was in Ezekiel 34. Is that 34? 37, thank you. Chapter 37, where he speaks to the dry bones. Pastor Michael, I saw you standing up there, and you began to speak over the city of Youngstown. And you began to call for the hurting to come forth. You began to speak life to those who were dying. You began to call forth those who were angry at the world and those who were dysfunctional and those who were addicted. And you began to just call them forth. And as you did, one by one, they began to stand up. And they began to take off the wounds, and they begin to take off the anger, and they begin to take off the disappointments. And as you begin to speak life, they begin to think life. And I want to say to you that you are not called just to be a keeper of the peace, but you are called to be a giver and a releaser of the peace. And I felt like the Lord said to you, even now he is changing the hearts of those that you're going to come in contact with. Whereas before there was a resistance, there was a bitterness, there was a wall. He said, I'm breaking down the walls. And I am going to call you. In fact, he said, I'm going to call you. You're not called just to be a policeman, but I'm going to call you to be a father. And as a father, the greatest thing a father gives his child is identity. You're going to be a man who will begin to speak identity over a generation. I feel like, and I could be wrong, and I give you this, all of this with an open hand, but I feel like God's going to open up doors for you to even speak to some young people that are hurting and discouraged. And you're going to see them even before your eyes, the countenance change upon them. Because you will have the anointing to bring them back to life. And so we just bless you right now. We bless you. Eileen, God calls you faithful one. You have been faithful over the many years. I've seen you and you have been faithful to God in the little things, things that other people maybe didn't want to do. You said, hey, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I think that becomes your motto. I'll do it. I do it, Eileen. But God says, because of your faithfulness, you're about to come to a place of exaltation of greater things. He said, you've been faithful for many years over the little. And with this move of God comes, there will be an anointing for you to walk into a new room, which will be filled with greater things. I see over the doorway, greater things. And he's going to place them in your hands, and you're going to be able to hold them and do what God needs you to do because you've been faithful in the little things. God bless you. There's a young man. Can I have you stand, please? Yeah. What's your name? Wayne. Wayne, I just have a thought, and this may be God or not. I give it to you with an open hand. If it's not, just say, that wacko football player. But I feel like David had a dream. And it started when he was a young boy. He had an anointing placed on his life, and everybody around him, all of his brothers saw it. They were there the day that God placed it upon him. But he went back to the field. And he knew all this time, I'm supposed to be a king. What am I doing in a field? I'm supposed to be in the palace. And now I'm going out serving my brothers who make fun of me. And they were there. They knew. They were there. They heard the word. They saw the anointing, and yet they still treat me like a kid. But it was a journey for David to get to the place that God had called him to. And I feel like God has put something in your heart. And at times people may even thought, yeah, right. But they knew they were there at significant times when you had your encounters, when you knew what God was saying to you. And I say to you, don't give up. Because David had his day in the castle. You will have your day. Your day is coming, Wayne. Be patient, and you may have to kill some giants to get there. Deafen your ears to what people say that are negative about the call upon your life. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, turn to Joshua 3, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to read real quick, so listen real quick, okay? Hallelujah! Said Joshua 3, verse 1 through 5. These are people that were getting ready. They were getting in position because God was about to give them the city. So they had to get in position. And it said that Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not gone this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for that tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua had waited 40 long years for this day. He was at the place 40 years ago, and he had seen the land. He had tasted of the goodness of the land that God said was theirs. But because of 10 people, because of 10 people who did not know who their God was and did not know who they were in God and would not believe God for the miraculous, it took them 40 more years. And every time that Joshua went around that bend, he had to have said, God, is this the year? Is this the year that you're going to take us over? I've seen it. I know what it looks like. We can do it. And God would say, not this year, Josh, but you're going to go. You've been faithful, and you're going to go over. And finally, the day came when God said to Joshua, it's time. It's time. It's time to get in position because we're crossing over. I want to give you just quickly 3 things that you have to get in position for this next move of God. Number 1, you have to be in a place where you can hear and see what God is doing and saying. You have to be in a place where you can hear the voice of God and you can recognize the movement of God. When God says in his word, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. How many of you are sons? That's you. How many of you are daughters? That's you. God wants you in a place where you can hear and speak and know and recognize what God is doing. It's not going to work if you aren't at the place where you can recognize the Spirit of the living God. When I left that Tuesday morning, I recognized this was no lady talking to me. This was God speaking to me. To prophesy just means to be able to hear what God is saying and then to speak it forth. If you want to get in position, you're going to have to be able to be where God is speaking in that still, small voice, and you know that this is God. When he asks you to do something strange, And you say, I don't care how strange it looks. This is God. Number two. Could I have the worship team come up, if you will? Number two, you have to, in order to position yourself, you have to prepare the spirit man for the miraculous. If those 10 spies had a spirit man that knew that God was able to do the miraculous, it wouldn't matter how big those giants were. With this new move of God, there will be miracles, miracles, miracles. And your spirit man has got to be able to believe for the miraculous. You have to be able to recognize the miracle, to see that this is God in the midst of this. And then believe that God, if God can use a Joshua, if God can use a David, if God can use a Moses, if God can use a bishop, if God can use a Pastor Locke who was in business, if God could use someone as ordinary as me, then he can use you. But he's going to take us places we've never been before. And some of those places will involve walking in the miraculous. But you've got to get your spirit man to a place where you believe. Last of all, prepare to go after him. The Word of God, probably one of my favorite scriptures, said, if you seek him with all of your heart, you'll find him. And I said, when the ark begins to move, when you recognize that that's a moving of the ark, go after it. They said you had to stay a certain length behind. And I read somewhere that the reason for that was it was about a half a mile, was so that everybody could see that the ark was moving. When you see God moving, be ready to go after him. And before you even get in position to go after him, in a move of God, you've got to prepare yourself to go after him every day. He's looking for those who he can prove himself strong. He's looking for those who want to have a real life encounter with a real life God. He wants to have an encounter with those who say, God, no matter where we're going, no matter what it looks like, I don't care if I look like a complete idiot in the eyes of man. If you say we're going. I remember one time, and I'll close with this. I remember one time in the midst of revival, God was doing amazing things. And he spoke to me and he says, Catherine, he says, I want you to go up to these people's house and I want you to walk around their house 7 times and pray. And I said, oh, no. So the people already think I'm nuts. I'll leave Friday nights and say, wow, I probably look crazy, woman. And he said, I want you to go and pray. And so I did what every good wife does. I said to my husband, honey, God wants us to go pray. I knew they wouldn't think he's nuts. They'll say, oh, pastor, bishop, that was just so nice of you. But if I go by myself, they're going to say, oh, there's that woman again. So I said, honey, we're going to, and so like a good husband, he said, God didn't tell us, he told you. And I just couldn't shake it. Finally, I called the lady, and I said, I am so sorry. This might sound crazy, but I feel like I am supposed to walk around your house and pray. I says, I have a little red car. I'll stop. I'll go. I'll leave. Don't even pay any attention to me. People come by. I'll just wave. And she just began to weep. She said, ever since this move of God, we've been attacked, and we've had sickness, we've had financial problems, we've had just gone and on. She said, the fact that you would come and pray. To this day, she'll call me and say, I know you're a praying person. And immediately we saw things begin to turn around in her life. But you're going to walk ways that you've never walked. You're going to do things that you have never done before. Believe God for the miraculous. Go after Him. Position yourself to hear His voice. It takes time to just sit and listen. He wants to talk to you. Sometimes prayer to us is, okay, God, here's what I need. Bless so-and-so, touch so-and-so, heal so-and-so. Okay, I got to go to work. And God said, yeah, but is it my turn yet? I want to talk to you. I want to love on you. I want to have an encounter with you that'll change your life. If you're here this morning and you said, God, I want to get in position. I know there's a move of God like the earth has never seen coming. And as a church, we say yes. As a church, we want to encounter you. We want to change this area. I remember when we went to our first general councils where all the pastors and wives from the Assemblies of God would gather together. And I remember when I think it was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we went out to the restaurants, and there were all these. We had these name tags, so you knew who we were. And they were everywhere. I mean, everywhere you would go, they were there. And I thought, wow, what would that be like if believers were like that? Everywhere the city was saturated with believers that passionately love God, love people, and we're living an amazing life far above they could ever imagine. Would you stand to your feet, please? We're going to open this altar. And if you're here and you're saying, God, that's me. I want to position myself today. I want to say to God, God, this church positions ourselves. We're ready to cross over when you say, when the Holy Spirit begins to move and says, take that city. Do you remember when they walked around Jericho? Would you start to come, please, if you will? Joshua, I love to think about what it's like with Joshua and his conversations with God. And sometimes we have this, okay, God, yeah, I'll do it. When God said, here's the plan to take the city, Joshua had to say, you got to be kidding. I've got a young generation that are going to just tear into that city, and you want us to walk around it 7 days and then blow trumpets? What's with this? And finally he said, I'm going to tell the people, they can't talk because I've been there before. The last time we went in, their negativity. I know they're going to say, what are we doing? Joshua doesn't know what he's doing. He said, I want you to be quiet, because we're going to take that city, but we're going to take it God's way. And they did. Yes, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just say yes right now.
Yes, 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 yes.
We say yes. For some of you, it's a beginning, a start of a race. You you've been waiting for your number to call, and God said, I'm calling it today. Get in the race. He's got a plan. And we often quote that scripture, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Oh, but they're great plans. But you know what? We've got to know those plans too. And God wants to give us those plans, but sometimes we're just so preoccupied.
Yes.
Yes. Spirit of God. Spirit of God, position. Church is to be commended for your invasion so far. You go into the stores and you buy things for people and you provide. God smiles upon that.
I don't want it. I don't need it. God, I just want it. Just one you.
What is your name?
Just one you.
Clay? Clay, I see a picture of you. And I give it to you with an open hand. But I see you and you're on a hand glider. Now, we just saw in the news the other day where this guy, if any of you saw it, a guy was on a hand glider and his instructor forgot to lock him in, strap him in, and so he was flying above all this land and holding on for dear life. And I feel like you're on a hand glider. But God said there's going to be no fear with you. That he's going to take and you're going to see things you haven't seen before. You're going to be up high. And you're going to have a new perspective of things that you have seen up to this place. Things that you have thought one way about. God said, I'm giving you a brand new perspective. We just bless you, God. Because it's going to be an exciting ride for you. It's not going to be a frightful ride. It's going to be an exciting ride. And you're going to go high. And you're going to see things that are planted before you that you hadn't seen before. That you would only see in this encounter time. We bless you. Yes. Yes. Father, we just bless these people. You, honey, I just feel like you should pronounce the blessing.
Even as my wife continues to pray for people, we realize in this kind of a setting that some of you may need to be leaving, and so we want to speak a blessing over you. But those of you that are lingering, linger here, press in. We want to pray over you, but we understand that some of you have commitments, and so we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May each and every one of you, may you get into position. That means if you need to move to the left, hear the still small voice of the Lord indicate to you which direction to move and simply say yes. It's not rocket science. It's hearing that still small voice, that whisper, and you simply say yes and you obey. He loves you with a love that is beyond our ability to comprehend or even imagine. May his love rest upon you. May his grace and his mercy change you. And may he use your life as you say yes to him and come in to that position. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
just one.